interesting to say is that this is not an interaction between government and opposition. This is an interaction between the Kenya Kwanza coalition and the Azimio coalition. And their interaction is based on two important imperatives that Kenyans should pay attention to. The first one is a crisis, three types of crises that are facing Kenya, which is an economic crisis, a social crisis, and also a political crisis. The social crisis is part of the doubts that are creeping in the minds of Kenyans and Kenyan communities that maybe the transformative nature of our constitution was not given a chance to address the social problems that are facing Kenyans, including inequality, including poverty, including youth unemployment, but also more importantly, including the hardship that Kenyans are facing because of an economic system that does not respond to their needs, neither does it reflect the values and the ethos of our constitution. So that, for example, in our constitution, we have constitutionalized basic needs as basic rights under our Article 43, and that article, with many other articles in the constitution, envisages a society where no one is starving. Everybody has an opportunity to have a decent life, to live in dignity, to have decent work, and to be able to meet the basic needs that they have together with their families. And in the absence of that, there'll be an infrastructure established by the government and the state that then help those who need the help so that they cannot face starvation. And that Article 43 actually talks about housing, talks about food, talks about water, talks about many aspects that can lead into a decent life. What we have is an economic system that does not recognize those rights and does not seek to implement them. And in the context of what's going on in our Kenyan context, our nation is coming from the complications of the COVID period, but we are also facing failed rains. This is the sixth season that we have not had normal, what people call normal, which is adequate rains that are distributed evenly so that they can allow for agriculture. And you'll recall that most of our agriculture is based on rainfall. So those complications, and then the wider context in the globe, including the war in Ukraine and Russia, has created such conditions that they need urgent attention, and those who are in power are not responding to the priorities and the needs of the country. They are channeling resources to benefit politicians, their families and their spouses and their infrastructure, living large, establishing a very huge government, and yet there are people who are starving in this nation. First and foremost, I think the youth of Kenya are responding to the callous, heartless system that is causing pain to society. Kenyans look at the state with suspicion. Kenyan state institutions are low trust institutions. In other words, they do not respond to the needs of Kenyans. Youth see the state as a threat to them. You know that many young people live very desperate and lives that are surrounded by fear of state institutions, and particularly those which bear state instruments of power and violence, and that many youths who come from poor families, desperate lives, facing on a daily basis life and death situations when they encounter, for example, the police. They don't have jobs, they don't have employment. The education system needs fixing, it's broken. So they also see their families and their parents living desperate lives, and that the uncaring nature of the state and those in power is such that they are not only distrustful of them, but they loathe them, and they have nothing to do with it. So they have withdrawn from these state institutions and these structures, oppressive structures established by these institutions, and they try to make the living the best way they can. And they have had the lies and deceiving nature of many politicians, and they no longer trust them. So they think it's a waste of time to participate in political processes, but they also think it is harmful that you can participate in processes that are also harming you. So they have withdrawn from these processes. So how can we do this to make sure that young people are invested and participate in liberating themselves and making the best opportunities for themselves, and understand that they can be the change that they want, and they can influence this change, and they can take part purely because they are the majority of our people. The young people of Kenya are the majority of our people in terms of population. So we must try and open avenues for engagement for young people, and young people must raise their voices and be heard and use the great energy, innovation, and passion that they have to ensure that society works for them. They should not wait for others to make decisions for them. The youth of this Kenya must take part in transforming our society. When politicians who don't care about this country listen to themselves, they're making a mistake. They need to listen to what the rest of the country, and particularly the youth, are saying. If more than 8 million new registered voters did not turn up to vote, that should tell them something. And they should not mistake the disquiet and the lack of open conflict and fights in the street to consent for them to be misruled. This misquiet, this lull, if you like, this eerie silence that is engulfing our country should tell us that it is embedded in the youth that all the avenues for democratic change are being closed, and that you cannot, for example, change the lifestyle of Kenyans and the fortunes of the majority of our people to lead decent life through democratic processes. If you close all the avenues of democracy, and particularly electoral justice, some people are saying, accept and move on. Majority of the people in this country have not accepted, and they are not willing to move on. So they are looking for solutions. And if we promised them and said, the Constitution of Kenya 2010 was the last frontier of struggle, and that the Constitution will bring justice, social justice, to all of us, and it will protect all of us. It will have a progressive Bill of Rights. It will have a devolved system of government. It will have a framework for equal and equitable sharing of resources. It will treat everybody the same. It will create conditions for progress and prosperity. And then we circumvent the vision of that constitution, the ethos of that constitution, the provisions of those constitutions, and we actually undermine constitutionalism and the rule of law, then they will reap what they sow.